Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Beautiful. So we are looking at the subject of the features of kingdom worship. One important feature I want to share with us has to do with your motives. Can we all say motives? Motive is talking about the mind with which we do something. The mind with which we do something. So we want to find out today the mind with which God wants us to worship Him. Because if we have that mind, then our worship to God will be the type that is done in the kingdom of God. It will be the type that pleases Him so well. Hallelujah. So we want to look at our motives for the worship, or we technically call worship time in the church of the Lord. What is our motive for it? I want us to understand that God is so much concerned about the motive with which you do things. All right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. God is concerned about your motives. That is in kingdom worship. He's concerned about your motives. In religious worship, man's own way of worshiping God, we are not that concerned about motives. What we feel is that, well, it's worship time, and we must just worship God, sing worship songs and all that. But God is looking beyond singing of worship songs. He is looking beyond playing of all the instruments in the world. He is looking beyond nice robes and other things that we use in our worship. He is looking at the motive with which we worship. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5 says that, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. That's the motives of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. All right. So the Bible is telling us that God is concerned about our inner motives, the motives with which we do things for Him. Okay, so he's advising us that we shouldn't judge anything before the time, because God is going to come and He is going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. In other words, things that human beings cannot see. He's going to bring it to light. The reason why we are doing the things that we are doing. All right. He is concerned about that. He does not just want us to do the right things like worshiping Him, but He wants us to do it with the right motive. So kingdom worship, it goes beyond singing anointed worship songs. You see, it touches on why you are worshiping. And why you are worshiping is locked up deep within your heart. No one can see it. Only God can see it. But if we should bring a worship to God, which is the kind that is done in the kingdom, then we should work on our motives. Why we are worshiping God, for example, even today. Why? Okay? So in the kingdom system, God looks on the motives of our hearts and not just the sweetness of our lips, not just the niceness of our voices. Okay? He looks at our motives. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came, who brought to us the kingdom system, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He brought the kingdom system, He taught us in His very first sermon, where He was decrying religious worship and introducing His kingdom system. In Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, Jesus Christ teaches us about motive management. Can we all say motive management? Do you know why He did that? Because He felt that the motive with which you do things for God matters to God in the kingdom arrangement, in the kingdom system. So in the Sermon on the Mount, His very first sermon, can we all say the very first sermon? The very first public sermon, He teaches us that your motive is important before God. You remember the very first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. How did it begin? Blessed, the first words were, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So he was talking to them about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Or the kingdom arrangement in the Sermon on the Mount. So for about 6 times, he said something like, you have heard it said, but I say to you, you have heard it said, and he will quote something from the Old Testament, all right? But I say to you, and some of it were opposite. For example, the Old Testament said, you shall love your friend, hate your enemy. Jesus said, you have heard it said, you shall love your friend and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Is it opposite what God himself, what is written in God's word in the Old? Yes, it's opposite. One said, hate your enemy. Jesus Christ came to say, love your enemy. Isn't it contradictory? It is. That is why I took pains to let you understand that in learning about the kingdom system, we are going to have to compare to a religious system, a past system, an old system, which sometimes contradict the kingdom system. Okay? Wonderful. Look at our text, Matthew 6, 1 to 8. So in the middle of his sermon on the mount, Jesus Christ handles motive management. The whole of Matthew chapter 6 verse 1 to 8 and 16 to 18 is where he deals with the motive that in the kingdom arrangement that I am bringing, contrary to the religious that you have known, the true worship that I am bringing, your motive is important. So he says in verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Please underline that they may have glory from men. That is the motive. He says that these hypocrites, when they are doing a good deed, they do it with the mind that human beings will see that they are good. And human beings will say, hey, this guy is very powerful. Hey, this guy is very great. Hey, this guy is very wonderful. Hey, this guy's the voice is like this. This guy. You see, they want glory from men. They want human beings to clap for them. Says that this is the mind with which some people do things. And isn't it true? In the church of God right now, you can have this mind. You want to prove something to the pastor. You want to prove something to somebody. You get a thing? And that is your mind. For all that you have done, all the worship, all the prayer, all the session that you just want glory from men. Look at it. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. In other words, it's not weighty before God. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sits in secret will himself reward you openly. He is not saying that we should not do anything before people. We can do things, prayer, worship, we can do it before people, but the mind that we have is what he is concerned with. The motive for what you do publicly is very important as far as God is concerned. He went on and on to teach us motive management. So this is what Jesus was concerned with when he was bringing us the kingdom arrangement. Okay, our motive. So, ladies and gentlemen, to be a true or a kingdom worshiper, your motive for worship must be like that of the angels in heaven. Can we all say the angels in heaven? Yeah, they are in the heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. What is the motive with which angels worship God? Do you think that their motive is that God will bless them? Do you think so? That their motive is that God will give something to them? Why? Because they are already provided for. Can you get a picture? Angels, they have all abundance of everything. There is no lack in the heavenly kingdom. So when they are worshiping God, what mind do you think they have in worshiping God? Is it to induce God to protect them? Is it to induce God to give something to them? They already have everything. So what is your mind with which they worship God? Hallelujah. I will show you that mind. But ladies and gentlemen, the angels of heaven are so well provided for that when they are worshiping God, they don't worship with the mind that they want to beat God. You know, they want to kind of manipulate God. Because as for God, he's not willing to do some things. But when you praise him, then he changes his mind and he does it for you. Is that the mind with which God wants us to worship him? No, that is religious worship. That is religious worship. That is not kingdom worship. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, before the fall, before their fall, they were having kingdom worship because they lived in the first kingdom era, that is before the fall. Do you think that when they are worshiping God, as for God, when he appears, you can't help it but to worship him? When God appears to them or something like that and they are worshiping God, do you think that they worship God with a mind of enticing God to give them breakthrough? No, because they already have breakthroughs. They already have blessings. They are already abundantly provided for. So what mind do they worship God with? They worship God because they just love God. They just love God. Hallelujah. They just love God and they worship God, not so that God will bless them, God will do anything for them, but God will do what? So that because they just love God, they just love God. There is no ulterior motive for the worship that you are doing. It's just God, the person of God. You just love him. I'll come to that. But religion, it makes you always give something before you get something. That's what religion is about. Religion puts the focus on you. But the kingdom system puts the focus on God, his person, on Jesus, his person. But religion will always tell you to do something so that God will also do something. That is a religious life. Anytime you feel like I have to do this so that God will do that, remember you have slipped into religion. In the kingdom arrangement, you don't have to put anything on the table. God has already done everything that you want. He has already provided you with everything that you want. So your motive for worshiping him is not that God will do something for you. Your motive is that the thing has already been done and you bless him. Hallelujah. But religion will always tell you that go and bring a chicken so that the gods will do something for you. Or in the Christian environment, put something on the table, give your worship so that God will look upon it and then do something for you. No, ladies and gentlemen, in the kingdom arrangement, God has already done everything for you in Christ Jesus. You're already blessed. Hallelujah. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You are blessed with everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that is concerning your life right now, you are already blessed with it. Look at the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and then verse 3. 2 Peter is getting to the end of the Bible. And our subject is kingdom worship. The worship that is done in the heavenly kingdom, which God wants us to do on his earthly kingdom as it is done in heaven. 2 Peter chapter 1 and then verse 3. As his divine power has given to us, please underline giving. Giving is past tense. Already given to us all things. Can we all say all things? All things that pertains to life and godliness. Life there is talking about this life. Everything that we need for this life, the Bible says that God's divine power has given, past tense, those things to us already. Hallelujah. That is the understanding you must have when it comes to kingdom worship. That you are not worshiping for God to do anything. You are worshiping because you love God for doing whatever thing he has done for you already. Hallelujah. He has given us everything that pertains or that is relevant to life. Physical life, academic life, everything. And godliness is talking about spiritual life. Through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So you can see that just like the angels in heaven, we also are already provided for. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, we also are already provided for. It's wonderful. So we worship God and he is the one that we focus on in kingdom worship. Because we love him, then we worship him. Hallelujah. Otherwise, let me ask you a question. If you worship God with the motive that you want to entice him to do something for you, and you want to put something on the table, what about the day that all your needs will be met? Will you be able to worship God? Then the worship of God is cancelled. Then the angels don't have to worship God because all the things that they are already looking for, it has been granted to them. So why should they worship God? They worship God in the heavenly kingdom, not for things, but because those things have already been given and they love the Lord God for that. Isn't that a beautiful motive? Hallelujah. Now, let us look at the book of Luke chapter 6. I want to show you that God doesn't wait for your praise and worship before he does anything for you. Okay? Luke chapter 6 and then verse 35.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Luke 6 verse 35. Jesus is talking in his very first sermon, and he says what? But love your enemies. You know, he is bringing the kingdom system. In the old system, he said that hate your enemies. But now he says what? Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Wow! It means that even the people who don't thank God, God is kind to them. Isn't it true? Sometimes you look around, you see that somebody is a very bad person around you. But you see that God's goodness, God's kindness is shown to the person. That's what the Bible is saying, that he is kind. Sometimes you yourself, you do some things that you know that God doesn't like. But you said it and you show that character. You know God doesn't like it. But still, you see that God blesses you. All right, that is what the scripture is saying, that he is kind. That is how he is. He is kind to the unthankful. Those who don't thank him, those who don't praise him, those who don't worship him, he is even kind to them. So why should you worship God or thank him because you want him to be kind to you? He is kind, whether you thank him or you don't thank him. Haven't you seen that in your life? That sometimes the time that you are moving away from God, you see that you are moving away from the word of God, still God is gracious and he blesses you and all that, because he is kind to the unthankful. So in kingdom worship, you don't worship God because you want what? God to be kind to you, God to favor you. No, that's not the mind. You are already favored in Christ. Jesus has done it all already. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful. So, worshiping God as a bait for God to do something, ladies and gentlemen, is not kingdom worship. It's religious worship. It's putting something on the table so that God will look at what you have put on the table and also reciprocate. No, God is a king. You cannot manipulate him. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you put something on the table or not, God will be kind to you. Hallelujah. And you must know that you're already blessed in Christ Jesus. You have everything already. And that is the motive that you worship God with. So your motive shifts away from the things you are looking for to his person. How you love him for his kindness to you in giving you things already, blessing your life already. I know that the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 to 7 that when we are praying, we should do it with thanksgiving. We should thank God. But he wasn't saying that we should thank God so that God would do it. We should thank God because he has already done it. In the kingdom arrangement, it is what is done, not what he will do, because he's already blessed us. Hallelujah. Like the angels of heaven, like Adam and Eve, our first parents in the first kingdom era, already provided for, and we bless his name for his person. So, having shown you that we do not worship God as religion does, as a way of enticing God, inducing God to protect us, move, do things for us. What is the motive? That's how I want to end. What is the mind with which we should worship God? For it to qualify as what? Kingdom worship, the type that is done in the heavenly kingdom. What is the motive? Let us look at Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2 and then verse 1 following. Revelations chapter 2 verse 1 following. Now, I want us to know that once again, I made you to understand how to rightly divide, along which lines to rightly divide the word of truth. Okay. Now, I pointed out to you that in the very first sermon of Jesus, he dealt with our motive, or he told us to manage our motive, that God is concerned about our motive. Now, Revelations chapter 2 is Jesus's words to his church. In fact, his first words to the church when he was glorified in heaven. These are the first words that he spoke to seven Asia Minor churches, indeed, by application to all of us. And look at verse 1, Revelation chapter 2. This is the glorified Jesus. This is Jesus in the heavenly kingdom. And he is talking to his church who are on earth. And look at what he is telling them. All right? It forms the motive with which the heavenly kingdom where he was, they do things. And he's telling his church on this earth to do things after the fashion of his heavenly kingdom, in a kingdom way. Right? Verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. These lampstands, menorah, you know, is talking about the church. Seven golden lampstands is talking about the seven churches. Before I go on, I want you to know something, that the church is golden. Can we all say golden?
Golden.
Before God. This is Jesus Christ in the heavenly kingdom. All right? And he's talking to his church like us right now on the earthly kingdom. And he is describing us as golden church. That's powerful. You know, if you read everything, you will get to see that the church had faults. The church had mistakes. But still, God saw it as a golden church, golden lampstand. Wonderful. That should tell us the way that Jesus Christ sees his church right now. Maybe you are so pure, you are so holy, that you look at his church and you think that the church, you know, there are sometimes, there are ways that we talk about the church, which is not very good, you know. There are some understanding we have about the church which is not very good. Whereas God, who is the holiest, sees it as a golden lampstand in spite of their faults. We castigate the church, especially the present day church. We compare and we say this thing and this thing. No, it's an indictment on God. We are still golden in his sight. You may not like us, but we are still golden in his sight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wonderful. You may not understand why he sees us as gold. I will tell you why he sees us as gold. Because of his son and his work for his church. That's how he sees us, through his son. Look at verse 2 now. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Watch it. Watch it. Jesus, these are his first words. He speaks to the seven churches in his glorified state in heaven. He's talking to the church on earth. And he says that, I know your works and your labor. So he recognizes that the church is working. And then the church is what? Laboring. And the church has patience. Do you understand that? Patience. That's a church that is almost like mature, not so. Yeah. Because patience is a hallmark of a lot of experience. Wonderful. It says, I know your patience. Can you see that? And you cannot bear those who are evil. In other words, you are holy. You can't bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and they have not. You have found them lies. Look at how nice this church is. And you have persevered. And you have patience. You have labored for my name's sake. And you have not become weary. But you see, he has a problem with them. The problem he has with them is that they have left their first love. What does it mean in context? You must always understand the Bible in context. In context, what it means is that the works that they did, the labor that they labored for the name of God, it wasn't motivated by love for God. Do you know that you can persevere for God with a different motive other than the motive of love for God? Do you know that you can work for God, you can labor for God, you can test all the wrong things and even shun evil and don't like people who are doing evil with a different motive other than love for God? Jesus is drawing the church on earth to the way that the heavenly kingdom is like, which they should be. That your works, your labor for the name of God's sake, your worship, it must be motivated by what? Love for who? Love for God. Hallelujah. So he says in verse 5, remember therefore from where you are fallen. No matter how much patience you have, no matter how much mature, so to speak, that you are, there are things that you are doing for God, but the motive is not love for God. And God says that because of that, you are fallen. You have left the first love for God. Hallelujah. Because God wants love to be what? The motive with which we worship Him. So you can worship God. For example, God can say to a church right now, I know your worship. I know you worship me. I know your works. I know all the things that you do. You live a holy life and all that. But my problem with you is that your motive for doing it is not the kingdom motive. It's not because of love for God. Let's end it in the book of Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. So I'm showing you the motive with which the angels of heaven worship, the mind, and that must be our mind also in the earthly kingdom in order for us to engage in kingdom worship. Mark chapter 12 and then verse number, in context, you have to read from verse 28, but I want us to go to verse 32 and 33. So the scribe said to Jesus, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He, and to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Let's break it down. This is a scribe who comes to Jesus and he, in tempting him, he asks Jesus, that which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Jesus says, this is the first commandment. And the second commandment is that you must love your neighbor as yourself. All right? And he ends saying that there is no other commandment which is greater than this. So when Jesus said that, the scribe said, Jesus has answered truthfully. And then he repeats Jesus. That is verse 32. Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices that they slaughter animals and give to him. So it's to love him is greater, is more than that. When Jesus Christ saw that, he compared love for God, all right, to all of the sacrifices that we offer to God in the Old Testament in worship to God, Jesus Christ said that you are not far from the kingdom of God. What does it mean? It means that in the kingdom of God, love for God is the motive with which you do everything. Is the motive. Because there is nobody here under the sound of my voice who can say that as for me, I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. There's nobody. He's not talking about what you do necessarily. He is talking now about the mind with which you do your works. That for it to be the kingdom type, it must be the type that is motivated by your love for God. The fact that I love you. And you see, the Greek word translated love over there is the word agape. That means that I love God unconditionally. Whether I see that he has blessed me or not, I'm talking about practically, right? I see that I have the husband or not, I worship him because I love him. I don't worship him because this year is my year and I want a husband. Because I know I am already provided for. I just love you, Lord, for knowing my needs and providing my husband in Christ Jesus for me. It's the mind, ladies and gentlemen. It's the mind for our works. It's the mind for our worship. What mind should it be for it to be the kingdom type? For it not to be far from the kingdom. Sometimes God can look at us, ladies and gentlemen, and because we are not motivated in our works by pure love for God, he can look at us and say, you are far from the kingdom. Because in the kingdom way of going about it, it is because you love God that you do it. That you do it. So your works are done out of love for God. To be what? Near the kingdom. To be the kingdom type. All others far from the kingdom. If you don't love God unconditionally, it's just his person. Whether he has blessed you or whatever thing practically or whatever thing, it's just his person. When your focus is like that, then you are near the kingdom. Any other motive, you are far from the kingdom. There is a kingdom way of worshiping, which I've shown you. It has to do with your mind, with which you do your works and your labor for the name of God. Hallelujah. Jesus was concerned about our motive with which we do things in his very first sermon. His very first sermon to the seven churches when he was in heaven was their motive with which they do their works and all that. That it isn't motivated by the first love. Hallelujah. He wants everything we do for him to be motivated by our love for God. Wonderful. Then whether you have all your needs or not, you can bless God. When all your needs are met, it doesn't mean that worship stops. Hallelujah. You can still worship because the object of your worship is his person, because you love him. Let that accompany everything you do, including your worship, for you to be near the kingdom and not far.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.